Thank you, David and Kayleen. A song put to music from the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 7, first different groups that are in heaven gathered around the throne, some that have come out of the tribulation, some who are the elders and those 24 and elders, and all those with the names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And several times that John sees several different multitudes, including several different type of crowds, all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And one day you're going to be a part of one of those groups. And I'm pretty sure it's not the Tribulation Martyrs group, so praise the Lord for that. And 1 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, 1 Timothy, we're going to go I did work on a little bit of a PowerPoint, if you'll put that up here, start us off here. On Sunday night, asking the question, who are we? A study of the church. And then a couple weeks ago, we started the church and its deacons from 1 Timothy 3 and Acts chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy 3, Paul is giving the instruction to the offices of the church. And first, he addresses the pastors in chapter 3, verse 1, and then in verse 8, if you'll look down, verse 8, likewise, in other words, there are qualifications for the office of the bishop, as is referenced in verse 1 and 2, and then he goes down to verse 7, these are the qualifications for, and then the word likewise is connected that also this office has qualifications that must be met, and then he goes down, must the deacons be grave. And we talked about a few of these words just for a sake of review here. This grave is a King James word that is used as talking about a mixture of dignity and gravity, not talking about their weight, but talking about respect, seriousness. They are men who take serious the things that God takes seriously. They are, doesn't mean that they're sour, doesn't mean that they're, you know, stoic, but it means that they're not flippant and silly when it comes to serious matters. These are men who are grave. Also, it says here, these are men who are consistent. It says here, not, in the negative, not double-tongued. So not two-tongued is the literal rendition of that word. And we would see out of that a characteristic of consistent. In other words, it's actually a literal translation can be insincere, where you can't tell whether they are sincere or not. And so we would get this idea of sincere from this word being single-tongued, not double-tongued. In other words, they are at church who they are at home. They are at home who they are at church. Who you see is who you get. They're not double in their presentation. They are men of integrity, and they can be consistent in their life. But also here in the next session or next word here, not, this is also in the negative, not given to much wine. And so I would see here, disciplined, controlled. This word here is a prohibition against drunkenness. And he's not so that his faculty, his thinking, and his body is not controlled by any outside substance. In other words, his lifestyle is a lifestyle that is consistent with someone who is always in control of his mind and his body. Yes, this would be connected to alcohol, but as well as any other type of substance that would that a person could indulge in that would change their thinking and their behavior. These are men who are not clouded by outside sources. That's what is the requirement here. This is also the requirement of a pastor as well. Interesting enough, though, the word that is used here is a stronger word than is the word that's used for a pastor. It's a little bit more you got a little bit more strength to this word, not given to much wine. So that would see that there as a person who is disciplined and who has his mind and body in control. The next is you see here in the list. This is also in the negative, not greedy of filthy lucre. I like the way that King James uses that. And I used to think that was licorice when I saw that word. This is not talking that it is. That's nasty stuff too. You don't want to deal with that anyway. But it's filthy lucre. This is basically I would turn it into the positive. This is a person who is generous and is a good steward. Now, how this word is, one translation said, not miserly with his possessions. Do you know what a miser is? Okay. A miser, an old miser, is someone who hoards wealth. And they're stingy. And they don't want to let it go. And so they pile it up. You know, this is, Scrooge McDuck or something like that. That's kind of what I'm thinking of. Some of the younger generation knows what I'm talking about here. And so, you know, somebody who just, you know, hoards it up at Fort Knox. And you're not going to let it go, all right? And this would be in Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, all right? Mr. Scrooge, all right? And the Marley brothers, or the Marley, Jacob Marley. So you have here someone who is a hoarder. Their possessions are held tightly because they mean a lot to them. And that's what the phrase here in this is, it says, not greedy of filthy lucre. In other words, it's someone who is a good steward of what he has, but he's also generous. They're not out to make money, but to serve. Now, that doesn't mean that someone who has wealth can't be a deacon. That's not, the Bible is not against wealth. In fact, God used people throughout the scripture who were very wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. Abraham was a very wealthy man. Several of the kings were very wealthy, and God used them. There were others who were wealthy as well that God used. However, it is the love of money that is the root of all evil, not money itself. And so when it comes to the office of a deacon, the emphasis on this man is someone who's not overly stingy, who's not stingy and is not a one who holds on to things and is not a hoarder of things, but is a giver. And that's why I put here in the term one who is a good steward. Who's a good steward. He is faithful in the affairs both of his life with wealth, and because I believe the Lord knew, some have assumed that by the time that Paul wrote this book to Timothy and put this in here, that maybe already that deacons, along with the pastors and the apostles, were already filtering and distributing and responsible for the affairs and the finances of the church. And we do seem to find that in the book of Acts as they come to the apostles and they were laying at the apostles' feet the money that they sold. And then the apostles were taking that, and with the responsibility that they had, which later, I believe, came to be the deacons as well, to help distribute those funds and meet the needs of the people, which meant being stewards and being responsible for the affairs, the finances of the people as they gave. And so being responsible with the funds of the church seems to be a responsibility that deacons helped with the pastor to facilitate and to oversee and to be in the care of. And you would want someone, if you have a group of people who are coming on a weekly basis of the free will giving over and above at times of their giving, sacrificially giving, as Paul would commend the church at Corinth, on a regular basis, to be able to meet the needs of certain people, certain groups, whether they're widows or missionaries or the staff or the ministries in the church. You would want someone in that position handling those funds who's not a miser, who's not stingy, who's not greedy for filthy lucre, who doesn't have a stake in the game, who's not looking to pack his pockets. Someone who is willing to be a good steward of his own finances, but then also to be able to handle the finances of the church and the people of God and use it as it's intended to be used. So, as a responsibility, as a requirement, a qualification of these men, they are to be generous, good stewards, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Another qualification in this verse, in verse 19 or verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And I put this as gospel grounded. Gospel grounded. This idea of holding the mystery of the faith, holding this faith that has been entrusted, this set of doctrines, this faith that has been passed on from the apostles, from Jesus to the apostles and to the church. And this faith that is preached by the pastors and the teachers as they expound the whole counsel of God's word. This faith that the church is entrusted with to live out in an evil and wicked day. This faith that believers are to hold true to and not wander and waver astray and get into false teaching, such as Jude and John and Peter would talk about later on, and Paul as well. Deacons are to have the qualification that they are gospel-grounded men, and with a pure conscience, they hold to the truth of God's word and the faith of God's word. They're not men who waver. I think that's the idea here, is that they are settled in what they believe from the word of God. That doesn't mean settled in tradition. They're settled in the faith, in the doctrine, in the truth of the gospel and what has been handed down to the church. And they are settled in that. That means when they're reading the scripture, and if they find something in the scripture, they find something in the gospel, they find something in the word of God, and their hearts are pricked, they're able to leave a tradition or leave a specific thing that they thought at one time. And they are convinced by their conscience and through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow thus saith the Lord. That's the type of men, not only that you want to lead in your pulpit, but that you want to shepherd and lead the people as well. These are gospel-grounded men. If you notice in verse 9, or verse 10 as well, and let these also first be proved. This word proved or proven means they are to first be tested. That seems to be what's going on in Acts chapter 6 as they bring before these men and the apostles called them out, saw that they fit these certain qualifications, these categories. These were men who had already been tried and true. They had already been proven. They weren't novice. These men had these characteristics and these qualities in their life, and they were tested upon that. In other words, they had some responsibility with some finances. And they were proven to be generous and trustworthy. They had learned to be grave and take things seriously and respect things. They have been tested to make sure they're not double-tongued, that they're consistent, that they are gospel-grounded. They're tested, not a new believer necessarily, but someone who has been tested and then proven. Proven has this idea of to be tested. And then it says here in this verse as well, let them that use the office of the deacon being found blameless at the end of verse 10. This word blameless means nothing to grab a hold of. I would like to see this as a growing in the Lord. Blameless doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean someone who doesn't sin. This is a qualification that would also go with a pastor. Blameless is the idea of no accusation. They live above reproach. When something is pointed out in their life that is inconsistent or that goes against maybe God's word and they have sinned, they are quick to offer confession, to get that right, to be restored, because they want to be right with God. So they are sensitive to the things of the Lord. They're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. This is a part of being blameless. Not that you're perfect, but that you are growing in the Lord. And that when things are pointed out in your life, like someone said, he is moldable. And if any flaws are pointed out, he is willing to change them to follow Christ. He is willing to work on his weaknesses. That's what I see in this qualification. Someone who is unwilling to work on his flaws is not someone who is blameless. And so as a deacon, leader, office within the church, there is a requirement that he be blameless. Also, it says here, we'll just skip the next verse and look at verse 12. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. And I put this here, faithful in marriage. Faithful in marriage. The phrase here, husband of one wife, it's a similar term that was used of the pastor as well in the previous verses. But it's talking about someone who is a single focused on one woman, all right? Not one at a time, all right? But one. He's faithful in his marriage. And I would believe the focus here is that he loves his wife, he is faithful to his wife, and he cherishes his wife as well. And we would see that as a person who is not divorced. This would be consistent with a pastor and the responsibility of a pastor too. Now, both of these qualifications, even within the Baptist denomination, is sometimes controversial. Okay. And they would not see eye to eye on this qualification for pastor and deacon. However, a strict view of this terminology would eliminate someone who has been divorced in the past. So that would be the qualification. But there's also another aspect, disciplined in his home. So look at the verse, verse 13, verse 12, ruling their children and their own houses well. And this term that is used here, ruling his own home, it's a military term talking about falling, managing those to fall in rank. That's the way this word ruling means, like a drill sergeant, making sure people are marching by the step and being obedient to the authority. That's how this term is used, able to rule his children and his house well. That's why I see this as a manager of his home. He brings discipline in his home. This means a man who disciplines his children with consistent, appropriate, and loving discipline. Now, there are times that children will walk away from the Lord. There are pastors' children that do the same. There are deacons' children who do the same. You train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, we're given the general promise, the proverb, that he will not depart from it. But there are children who, when they get out from under the roof of their home, they make the decisions. Their heart is responsible before God. They've been pointed in the right direction. They've been given the truth of God's word. But ultimately, they have to continue to follow that for themselves. And so we recognize that there are children, both of a pastor and of a deacon, that have fallen away from the Lord. And it's sad when it happens. So this is not talking about all the children of the pastor and the deacons have to always follow and never be rebellious. This is talking about while he is the manager of his home and those who are in his home are underneath his care and supervision, he keeps them responsible to the word of God and to be obedient with God. That means when they're in your home, I believe you bring them to church. You show the emphasis and the importance of the things of God's word. It doesn't mean that they're all going to obey that and follow that, which is why there is a need for certain types of discipline. But it is a responsibility. Not that he's a perfect parent and that his family is perfect and has everything in line, but that he leads his home in the discipline and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and he rules with discipline those who are under his responsibility. And that can be difficult when children with different personalities, whether silent rebellion or open rebellion in the home. This is a man who has discipline in his home, and he seeks to lead his family and his children and his wife into the things of the Lord. So that would be the qualifications of a deacon. And interesting enough, at the end of verse 13, if you'll look, for they that have used the office of the deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree, a good rank, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I put this as a qualification. We'll come back to that in just a moment before we end. But here is a man that has boldness. He has confidence in Christ. Because he's settled with the word of God. He's growing in Christ. He's working on his weaknesses. And he's leading his family as an example of loving the Lord and putting God as first place and priority, and then seeking to discipline his family to follow the Lord, those who are under his care and under his household. And it gives him, when he uses this office, it gives him boldness and assurance and confidence in the Lord. You find a man who's bold and confident in what he is doing. And this is, I believe, also to see that as a qualification, not just simply a reward. Now, we skipped a verse because there's also a qualification for the deacon's wives. And as you see that here. Now, verse 11, I do have some problems with some other translations. And also some other of my commentaries. I think even maybe John MacArthur as well in some of this, in their take of this. Is this a separate office? Is this the office of the deaconess? Is this to be translated in that fashion as a separate position? I tend to agree with the King James and the support of this verse and how this verse is translated, that it is connected to the previous verse and the following verse as talking about the deacon's home and family. How he is at home. And so it's not talking about a separate office, a separate position. There, and so next annual meeting, we got to vote on deaconesses. All right? That's not what it's talking about. I believe this is talking specifically in verse 11 when it says, even so must their wives, in connection to the deacon and his wife, just like the pastor and his wife. And interesting, in verse 11, there are qualifications for the wife as well. So as, you know, deacon nominations come up and you look down the list and you see that, oh yeah, he's this and he's that and he's this and he's that. Okay, he meets this qualification. Don't skip verse 11. And we see this in connection. They are a couple. And if they are in this together as a ministry, there are some qualifications, and Paul articulates those qualifications enough to give Timothy and saying, when you're in this church, also look at his wife and see this as well. And this, to those who have held the office of deacon and those deacon wives who have ministered in our church and who are ministering in our church, or who may minister in our church in the days ahead, t- Take note of these qualifications, both for the men and for the women. Look at verse 11. Even so must their wives be grave. And remember, I told you, it doesn't have anything to do with weight. All right? Especially on this verse. Don't ever ask the age and don't ever ask the weight. All right? It's talking about worthy of respect. That's what I see here. Dignity, honorable. Worthy implies that she is respected for her character. Does it mean perfect? Does it mean that there's no flaws? But that there is character here. And there's a seriousness about things. And not that they're always, you know, stoic. Don't go overboard on this word. This idea of dignity, gravity, respect, reverence, worthy. Knowing when to laugh and when to weep. When to talk seriously and to take things seriously. So this is a similar word that is used of the deacon and the pastor as well. She is worthy and respected for her character. Also, the term that is used here, I like to see. It says here in the King James, not slanderers in the negative, but I put it in the positive, disciplined in speech. So disciplined in speech, not slanderers. This would be one translation says not gossips. Interesting, the Greek word that is used here is diabolos. You know where that word is used. And it's translated, it's used for a term for the devil. Okay? Satan himself is a diabolos. He's a slanderer. And so the opposite of someone who is a slanderer is someone who is disciplined in her tongue, in her speech, in what she says. This word means to be malicious. In her speech, to accuse falsely, unjust criticism, or to use your words with hurt. So she is not to be someone who uses her tongue to slander, to gossip, and to hurt and accuse other people. This is to be a woman who is seen as someone who is disciplined in what she says. This is serious. Notice that there's not as many for the wife as there are for the men. However, the ones that are picked out are serious, very intentional. Another term here that's sober is the word that's used. And this word is disciplined in mind is how I see it here. Another word that can be translated by this word sober is the word temperate or in control. In other words, not one who loses their cool. But is sober. This word is only used three times in the New Testament. It's used twice of the three times it's used twice in this chapter. One in verse 2 in the qualification of the pastor. He is to be sober in the middle of verse 2. The other is in Titus when it's talking about the aged men, right? The old men, they are to be sober. The third time or the second time it's used is it's used of a deacon's wife. So the same term that is used for a pastor is used for a deacon's wife. It is connected, interesting enough, in the original, it is to be not intoxicated. There seems to be a connection as well. Sobriety, not intoxicated, alcohol, drugs, or other types of mind-altering things. It is connected with that. However, it's not the same as not much wine, as mentioned before, but the deacon's wife is to be someone who is sober-minded. She is in control of her faculties. And she thinks through things and is able to be clear-minded. Someone said here, free from life-dominating influences. Write that down. That's what sober means. To be free from life-dominating influences. which could include alcohol and other things as well. And then the fourth is faithful. Trustworthy, says here at the end of this verse. Sober, faithful, and notice what it says, in all things. In other words, she is to be characterized by a person who can be trusted. Why is that? Because there are going to be times that she's going to be privy to certain things, certain areas of ministry, and certain conversations within the church. And it's to be someone who is able to take care of the assigned duties that maybe have been assigned or being trustworthy in responsibility. Someone wrote this, she must be dependable. Another commentator wrote this, the deacon's wife, like her husband, must be sincere, not a gossip, not giddy or giggly, but polite, ladylike, faithful in all things. Father, I pray as we close tonight, for the sake of time, we go over a few other things at another time. But Lord, these qualifications are very sobering to be able to go through, to remind us, and especially for the deacons that are here tonight and their wives, that as we walk through verses like this, that we see how serious Paul took the offices and the leadership within a church. And Lord, as we see our deacons and their wives and the staff, even within our church, would we uplift them in prayer, recognizing upon them the responsibility.